If you know anybody that might need any other tapes or any material that I might be able to send free of charge, delivered right to your front doorstep, amen. It won't cost you a dime. Amen. I believe we received it freely from the Lord, and I believe that's the way it ought to be. Amen. We ought to give it out freely too. Amen. But I'd like to say that I bless God for all you preachers, and I thank you for listening to these tapes. And I want you to know, when I come to your church, I come to be a blessing. I don't come there to try to straighten your folks out and first one thing or another like that. That's not my place to do that. My place is just going there and preach the gospel, try to encourage the saints, and try to get some folks saved. Amen. So I want you to know that, preachers, and so I want to thank you for praying for me and each one of you that has used me in your church. I want to thank you so much. Amen. Now, God bless you. I'm going to bring a message here, Lord will, on Milk Cow Religion of a good friend of mine's church there in Texas I was in, and I hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. Preaching on Milk Cow Religion, 1 Samuel chapter 4. May God bless you now.
Preacher's text in a minute. You in the key of C? 1 Samuel 4. He mentioned Mays Jackson last night. Mays is in heaven now.
Yes.
But if you hear Mays, you'll hear Johnny. If you hear Johnny, hear Mays. They sound a lot alike.
Yes, sir.
And each one of them is unique. But he told that story last night where Mays couldn't get anybody to go with him down to the post office.
That's right. Post office. Yes, sir. That's right.
Get anybody to go?
Uh-huh.
And he finally said, well, Jesus, will you go?
Yes.
And I thought about that today.
Yes.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide.
Yes.
It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide.
Yes.
But this one thing I know,
yes.
If it be dark or fair,
yes.
If Jesus is with me, I'll go.
Yes. Yes.
It may be I must carry the blessed word of life,
yes.
Across the burning desert to those in endless strife.
Yes.
And though it be my lot,
yes.
To bear my colors there,
yes.
If Jesus is with me,
yes.
I'll go. Anywhere.
Yes, right, yes.
But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billows foam,
yes.
I'll prove my faith in him.
Yes.
Confess his judgment fair. And if he stays with me,
yes.
I'll go anywhere.
That's right, yes.
It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord.
Yes.
It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word.
That's right, yes.
But if to go or stay, or whether here or there,
yes.
I'll be with my Savior, content.
Thank God, yes.
Anywhere. Isn't that something?
Yes.
If Jesus goes with me, I'll go.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Yes.
'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if
yes.
He is there. I count it a privilege here. His cross to bear.
Yes.
If Jesus goes with me, I'll go.
Yes.
Anywhere. If Jesus. me, I'll go anywhere. It's heaven to me, wherever I may be, if he is there.
That's right, yeah.
I count it a privilege his cross and book to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Come on, Brother Johnny, I just spilled your water and I'll go get it.
All right, brother. I appreciate that. I want to say I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to be here with you fine folks. And we'll just see what the Lord will give us tonight, be able to speak to our heart. We'll kind of put it in another gear here tonight, being Saturday night. And because I know we got to be back early in the morning, get ready for regular morning services. And so I want to give you something in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, it takes all different kinds of preachers, preach all different kinds of messages. And I believe that everything that God put in the Bible, he had a reason and a purpose for putting it in there. I mean, it don't matter whenever you study colors of the Bible, numbers of the Bible, directions of the Bible, when he names different storms, different winds. And there's so many things that God puts in there for us to be able to study the scriptures together. And he likens them into something, like the child of God. He likens us unto a little sheep, and he's the good shepherd of his flock and how he takes care of us. Not only that, but whenever a lot of times I preach a message on the eagles, how that the eagles is a type of the child of God, how that he's born on a rock. I don't live but about 30 miles from what they call Mountain of Eagles, Tennessee. And up in there, that's all we got is a bunch of eagles, and those eagles represent the Christian, how that they're born on a rock, and how that they go through the molting period, and how that they watch over their young, and how that an eagle is the only the fowls that takes and cries, tears roll down his face, amen, tears, he weeps when he gets up on his rock, how that he can head directly into the sun. He's got two sets of eyelids that close up here and close him up to take care of him. So God likens the eagle, God likens the horse in the Bible to warfare, and just so many things like this, different kinds of fish. That's why he said they caught 153 fish. He said separate the good fish from the bad fish. When he was talking about the bad fish, that's ones that didn't have scales. That's the reason that back in the Old Testament economy, that you couldn't eat catfish. You see they do? They're like a bunch of independent Baptists. They hang around on the bottom and run around a bunch of old suck holes and eat the garbage. Is that right? Amen. Is that right? But he said, I want you to do, he said you eat the good fish, and the good fish is the ones that can take the pressure because they have scales on their body, and they separated the 153 fish, the good from the bad. Well, tonight we got something else we'd like to kind of bring you, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you here. But I want to show you something. I got to bring you up the story before we turn it over to where we're going to turn to in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, you got to picture this. Israel is in a battle. I mean, they're battling the Philistines with everything that's in them. And all of a sudden, they're getting whipped. I mean, they're getting beat up real bad. They're losing a lot of men. Then if you'll look in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and the Bible said in verse 3, and when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant. Now, do you always remember this? If you got your pencil and paper, if you're taking notes, the Ark of the Covenant always represents the presence of God. Everywhere you find in that Bible where you find the Ark of Covenant, it represents the presence of God. So here's what they did. They said, let's take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh that they might bring from them thence the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord of Hosts which dwelleth thereupon between the cherubs of the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now the Philistines came, and if you look at verse 7 and 8 there, how did they come? And they beat them, and they took their Ark from them. They took the Ark of the Covenant from them. Verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his own tent, and there was a great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the Ark of God was taken. The presence of God was taken, and the two sons of the preacher Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Now here's the picture. They're in a big battle. Instead of, and they've got to lose this battle. They went down and took the Ark of the Covenant, where it was not supposed to be, and put it in a battlefield, thinking that that was going to protect them. The enemies of God come along and took this Ark away. And they said, you think that that's going to help you? We're going to show you what's going to happen. Now, if you read here a little bit further, look here, the brother's going to show you something. And the Bible says in verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, talking about Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child. And it says, near to be delivered. And when she heard that the tidings of the Ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself. She travailed for her pains and came upon them. And about the time of the death of the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named that child that was being born, the name of that child, Ichabod. Look what it says, saying that the glory is departed from Israel because the Ark of God or the presence of God was taken away, and because her father-in-law and her husband, and then it says, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark is taken. But Brother Johnny, tell you something. As I travel all over this country, I have never seen the like of it so much in my life. I tell you, 99% of the churches, my friend, you can write Ichabod above the top of the door. Is that right? No presence of God. And that's exactly what this woman said. This woman wasn't as upset about her husband dying and her father-in-law dying as she was about the Ark of the Covenant being took. So she was upset. So the enemies of God come and took the Ark of the Covenant. Now we're going to read, I'm going to preach tonight from chapter 6, but I'm trying to bring you up to show you to set it up. In chapter 5, these enemies of God took the presence of God, and they took it, see in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5, they took it to their God, to the house of Dagon. That means he was half fish and half man. That night when they shut them doors on that temple, the next morning they come in there, and old Dagon had done fell, slapped down dead. False gods can't stand before the true and living God. Is that right? They said, what in the world's wrong with our God? He's done fell flat of his face. Amen. They said he done fell flat of his face. So they stood him up that night, shut it up the next night. They come the next night, and his head was gone. The palms of his hands was gone. Amen. You see what Brother Johnny's saying? So now all of a sudden, here's what's happened. To them Philistines, they started breaking out. Brother Johnny, look here if you would, in that chapter 5, in verse 9. And it was so that after they carried it, talking about the ark, about the hand of the Lord was against the city, and a very great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great, with emeralds in their secret parts. Your pastor explained to you sometime what that means. You know what your secret parts are, amen? And listen, so God said, what I'm going to do, because you have come and you took my ark, my presence away, I'm going to send plagues. So what these Philistines, my brother, did, they got together, Brother Larry, and they took that ark, and every city that they put that ark in the Philistine land, they got sick. They sent it to city number 1, they got sick. They sent it to city number 2, they got sick. They started breaking out with all kinds of boils and sores, and all kind of things on them. You see why? They said theirself that they was up under the curse of God. Then Brother Johnny, tell you something. The world does not like the presence of God. I know a lot of independent Baptists don't like the presence of God. Is that right? And is that right? I know, listen, and every one of these men got sick, and the Bible said that they had all kind of sores in their secret parts. Amen. They were sick. Amen. Now look at here, chapter 6, if you would. At chapter 6. So now the Philistines come up with an idea. They said, what are we going to have to do? What are we going to have to do now? We're going to find out, are we out of the will of God? Is this thing making us sick? They said, what are we going to do? This ark, everywhere this ark goes, it takes and it makes people so deathly sick, this plague. We're going to have to send them. We're going to send the ark back to them. So here's what they do. They go out in the field and they find 2 regular old milk cows. Tonight I want to preach on milk cow religion. I want to preach on milk cow religion. I wish we had some Baptists had some milk cow religion, amen? These old milk cows of Betsy and Bossy, you're going to find out, got a lot of sense. More sense than a lot of Baptists I know, amen? So they said, listen, what are we going to do? Said, let's go out in the field. You see that word, milk can? That's a good English word for milk cow. Now, I live in the country. I got a big farm right behind me, all kind of cows and calves and everything like that. Now, these Philistines said that let's go out in the field and take two milk cows. See what it says in verse 7 there? And it says, and therefore, let's take a new cart and take two milk kine on which there have not come a yoke. And they said, and tie the kine to the cart and bring home their calves from them. They said, here's what we're going to do. They said, let's go out here in the field. We're going to find us two old milk cows that has never had a yoke upon them. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around cows in your life, but anytime you get ready to go out to some old field cows and you walk to them, they're going to take off running. Is that right? But I want to show you that the providence of God, that the Bible said that there was never a yoke put on those cows. Those cows stood perfectly still. Don't let that word the providence of God. That just means that God's doing something that you don't know nothing about. Amen, that's right. So here's what happened, Brother Bob. These two old milk cows, they went to the field, and they got these two old milk cows. Listen, when they took those cows and they put that yoke on them, you know what that was? That was a brand new experience. Those cows experienced something that they never have, that they had never had in their life. They never had a yoke upon them. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Is that right? Do you remember the time that you got the new experience? Do you remember there was a day and time in your life when you had an experience with God? That's exactly what these cows did. They had an experience. There's a lot of folks that goes around, Brother Bob, that said they had an experience, and I can't believe a dime of it. Amen. Is that right? These cows, listen, they never had a yoke put on their body, but they stood there and they let them put that yoke on them. Ain't that amazing? A brand new experience. Not only that, my brother, not only that, but there's a brother trying to share something. You want to look here. Not only that, they had a brand new experience. That yoke had never been on these two wild field cows. But if you'll look here, let's go down. Let's see in verses 7 and 8. And it says, and the ark of the Lord lay upon the cart. The cart is a representation of the church of God, the church of the living God. Listen to this. That cart represents the church. That ark is the presence of God. But I like what it did in verse 7. It said they tied up those cows to that cart. When you got saved by the grace of God, God hooked you up to the local New Testament church. I remember, after you have the new experience, the next thing you got to do is to get hooked up. Is that right?
Amen.
A lot of these folks talk about getting saved by God's grace, don't believe in going to church, so I don't believe a dime of that junk. Is that right?
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you, when these cows, they took those cows, they backed them up, and they hooked them up to the cart. The cart is the type of the New Testament church, and the ark, they put the ark on the cart. That's the type of the presence of God.
Amen.
If you want the presence of God, you're going to find it out at the church house.
Yeah.
Is that right? Not only that, I want to show you something else. They had a brand new nature. They didn't act like cows no more. Look here, if you wouldn't follow me along in verse 9. In verse 9, here's what the Philistines are saying. Brother Bob, the Philistines are saying, let's take two old milk cows, we're going to take their calves away from them, we're going to take them and we're going to put them out here to go, and we're going to put this ark that's causing us all the plagues, and we're going to send them towards Israel, and we're going to see what's going to happen to them. And at verse 9, the first three words there says, we're going to look and see. Did you know after you got saved by God's grace, and you went around your neighborhood and you began to tell them about being saved, how good it is to be saved, that you had a new experience and you belong to the First Independent Baptist Church? Did you know that the world sits out there and waits and sees where you're going to be at on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Is that right? That's right, Brother Johnny. Amen. Boy, these old milk cows, Brother Bob, I'm trying to tell you, the world sit out there to try to watch them to see what was going on. And I'm trying to tell you, Brother, they stayed on the straight and narrow. Is that right? Amen. You see that old milk cow religion? That's God. We need some folks in the church, amen, that's had an experience of God that is hooked up to the church.
Amen.
And know that the world is watching your life. Amen. Not only that, brother. Let me, Brother Johnny, show you something else if you would. Not only was those ox hooked, not only was they hooked up, but listen, their purpose for being hooked up. This is where you lose your baptism at, verse 12. Look at their purpose for being hooked up. Here's why God wants you hooked up to the local New Testament church. And the kine, or the cows, took the straight way. They took the straight and narrow way. That's where you have your trouble in your church. When you go to preaching it straight and you're trying to get the people to live right and to live clean and to live separated, then you got trouble. Is that right?
Amen.
Huh? They took the straight way. They took the straight and narrow way. They got a stake and chain, two old cows out there in the middle of the field wants to walk right and walk on the straight road, and you can't get most of the Baptists to do it. Amen. I know some of you listen to pooch out your lips like Jesse on election day, but I'm trying to tell you the truth that, listen, my son ought to be able to walk straight. All right, I know that. I better get off of that. Amen. Not only that, we ought to be able to walk straight, but I want to show you something else. I want to show you something else, if you would. In verse 12, I'm going to show you this. Look here, if you would. In verse 12, and when the kine took the straight way to the way of Bethshemesh, that means the house of the sun, Bethshemesh, and they went along the highway, lowing as they went, and they turned not aside to the left or to the right, and the Lord of the Philistines went after them into the border of the house of the sun or the Bethshemesh. Did you see what that says there, Brother Bob? That said that those cows went along there lowing. Amen. When first time I ever got on this message, I was up in Saskatchewan, Canada, and I went on a big cattle ranch, and I asked that guy, I said, could you tell me, what do you think about this verse right here on this cow, how these cows was lowing? He said, I can tell you exactly what it means. He said, what it means is that them mamas, that God hooked them up, and them Philistines wanted to be sure that they was, that it was God doing it. They took their little babies away from them, and they locked them up in a shed, and that mama and daddy walked, and them two cows walked the providence of God, and they stayed on the straight road. And the Bible said they didn't look to the left, and they didn't look to the right. He said, Brother Johnny, do you know what was wrong with them mama calves, our cows? I said, what? He said, listen, they was going along with a broken heart. For I mean, they was just a moon as they went along, but they didn't go back after their calves. Listen, I believe old Betsy turned to Bossy and said, you know what? I sure miss our babies at home, but we can't turn back. Because God, I call on God, God is on the straight road.
Amen.
Is that right? Milk cow religion. Two old cows in the field, a mooing and a heartbroken over their little calves back in the stall. Every church I go to, I try to get mamas to come forward and pray for their children. The Bible said here that these two old milk cows went up there and was a mooing, and their hearts was broken. Now, like I told you, I live right by a big farm. You go out the back of my house to a big creek. I got a little Sugar Creek, and out back's a big old cattle farm. My friend told me the other day, he said, Brother Johnny, he said, boy, I'm going to tell you what them mama cows, you know what they do when they have a calf? He said, we got to get on our tractor, on a horse, and go out there and find them. When them little calves is born, them mamas take those calves, and they try to hide them where you can't find them. He said, here about a month ago, he said, I missed one of my cows, and I knew that she was gonna bear a calf. And he said, I got to looking for her. I went to looking for her on my tractor, and I couldn't find her. He said, she was so used to that tractor anyway. He said, you know what, Brother Johnny? I said, what? He said, did you know whenever I try to find them mama cows, if they drop a calf, they'll try to run off to try to make you follow after them to keep you away from their calf. He said, what I didn't know is, he said, I was out there that one day bush hogging, and I seen her and that big old bush hog behind my tractor. And he said, I was going out there just a mowing. And he said, that mama seen me. That little calf was laying in the high grass. And she thought that I was coming looking for a baby. I was just out there bush hogging. And she took off running, and I didn't know the calf was laying in the grass. He said, I cut that baby in a million pieces with that bush hog. Is that little calf laying down there? And he said, but that mama still all over there. And she goes, woo, woo, lowing over her baby. Lowing over her baby. I wish we had some people with milk cow religion. It's all right, they would low over their babies. It's all right. It's a stake and chain. I don't know if you've ever been to a Jewish funeral, but you go to a Jewish funeral, and you go down to that casket, look at that Jew in that funeral, in that casket there. He's got a tear bottle that's put in that casket with him when he dies. And he saves the tears, and he's wept and shed over his children. Amen. You can't get Gentiles professing them across through something like that. Is that right? Not only that, but I'm going to show you something else. They went on the straight way, but they had a brand new dialect. They talked another language. I mean, listen, I mean, these cows was lowing. They was missing their babies so bad, Sister Ginger. I mean, old regular field cows missed their babies. They wanted their babies. But they said, I got to serve God. I can't turn back. And then let me give you the last in verse 14 and 15. They had a brand new dedication. They had a brand new dedication. In verses 14 and 15, look at what it says, verses 14 and 15. And the cart come into the field of who? Joshua. Who else? Who in the Hebrew is Joshua?
Jesus. And it says they come into the field of him at the house of the Son. At the house of the Son, it stood there where there was a great stone. Boy, I'll tell you, I'd like to get on that. And it says, and they claimed the wood of the cart and offered the can of burnt offering. They had come to the place, these cows. Not only were they under the providence of God, had a new experience. Not only was they hooked to the church. Not only did they love their babies and their heart hurt so bad for their calves at home. But they got to the place, they become a living sacrifice. They sacrificed those cows when they got down to the end. They sacrificed themselves. They give it all. I heard Brother Bob say something right before I got up here. That unless you have to come to the place in your life that you're ready to give it up and give it all and turn it over to the Lord, I can promise you that. You got to do that. You got to. If you want the victory in your life, if you want power of God in your life, you have to get to the place that you say, God, if it takes my life, whatever. Even the Apostle Paul, in this right, Brother Bob, he said, I'd rather be a curse from Christ. In other words, I'd rather go to hell myself than my own kinsmen not go to hell. You ever done anything like that? Huh? You ever done anything like that? You ever said, God, whatever it takes to get my children saved, my husband saved, whatever it takes, here's two old milk cows, got more sense than most folk I know. Is that right? Is that right? Amen, Brother John is trying to tell you the truth. These two old milk cows, listen, on the field, had a new experience, got hooked to the cart, went on the straight road, heading to the house of the Son. Amen. And they sacrificed themselves. They sacrificed it all. Brother, you got a song ready? Let's all stand if you would, please. Let's all stand. You're here tonight. We cut it short. I got to be here early in the morning. But it's a shame when pure old milk cows has got more about them than a lot of us do. Ain't that right? It's a shame. It's a shame. That's a shame before God with two old field cows out in the field that God could take them, that had never had a yoke, they'd never been broke, they wasn't no show stock, they was regular old field cows, and God took them and hooked them up to the cart, had a brand new experience, give them a new dialect, they begin to move and low for their calves, they loved their babies, but they said they didn't go to the left, they didn't go to the right, they stayed on the straight and narrow for the Lord Jesus. What about you? What about you? Have you been on the straight and narrow? Have you been to the place where God can take you just like these folks right here? Had a brand new experience. Do you weep over your babies? Do you cry over your babies? Do you ever talk to God about them and tell them how much you need them and you love them and you want them saved? Two old milk cows. Listen. Do you understand? That is a law of nature. That's what I don't understand about people that can walk off and leave their babies and children. But listen to this. Them two milk cows couldn't do it. They took their calves from them. While I was going down that road, Brother Bob, they was a-lowing. But they said, Bessie, we miss our babies at home, but we can't turn back. We've got to go on this road. We want our babies with us. We want our calves with us. But we got to stay on the straight and narrow. We headed to the house of the Son, where Jesus is in the field. There's a great stone. There's a great stone in the midst of that field. We're hid there. Milk cow religion. Have you even got as much as two old milk cows? Have you had a new experience with Christ? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're born again, that you're washed in the blood? Okay, brother. Will you come? Will you come?